Today's scripture from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, works well with what we have been doing these 50 days of Easter here. We've been learning alongside our children in church, school, about how the good news of Jesus' ministry and resurrection spreads and how it inspires us to live our lives. On this consecration Sunday, when we bring forth our pledges of time and money for the program year ahead, we hear again from Paul's letter, written during his time in prison, to the newly formed churches in Philippi about how to imitate Christ. So let us open our ears, minds, imaginations, and hearts, and listen to how this ancient correspondence speaks to us today. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might know and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God, the Parent. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in Spirit, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God.
Please join me again in prayer. God, as we reflect on this ancient writing, this correspondence between people in the faith, help us remember our correspondence with you, how you inspire and give us life. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say, Amen. We've been hearing quite a bit about Paul during this Eastertide, and last week we reflected on his first chapter in the letter to the Philippians, and Amy reflected on how that corresponds with our Mental Health Sunday and how community is so vital for us. We may or may not hear from Paul in Philippians next Sunday on Pentecost. I'm still deciding that. But as I've mentioned before, sometimes when we read or listen to letters from Paul, there's a certain amount of ambivalence among us. Paul helped carry the faith across the Mediterranean, and if it weren't for him, Christianity probably wouldn't have gotten a toehold on the world stage, and you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. And Paul's letters and those attributed to him, most likely written by followers, have been used throughout Christian history to support exclusionary ideas that seem very unchristian-like to many of us. Ideas like subjugation of women, homophobia, slavery, anti-Semitism. And it's important to note that people have taken very select phrases from these letters to confirm and promote their own lazy prejudices. It takes some careful unpacking of the intent and context of these letters to understand their true meaning. Some of us are also uncomfortable because before his change of heart on the Damascus Road, which we reflected on several weeks ago, Paul was a zealous persecutor of newly formed Christ followers. And afterwards, he became a reformed zealot as a follower of Christ. And sometimes that fervor, that certainty, makes us uncomfortable. Now, for those of us who are ambitiously business-minded, Paul is exactly the kind of guy you want working for you. He's all about scaling up and out, about franchising and marketing, about getting the word out, sharing the good news. That's his life's mission. And these letters are actually about encouragement and correction, making sure that the regional offices are staying on the right course, staying firm on getting the company's mission out there. It's often hard to appreciate what Paul is doing and the immediacy of his project when we read him in translation 2 millennia later. Because frankly, he's not the best writer. His letters are meandering, sometimes repetitive and free associative. He zigs and he zags. So I want to try an exercise this morning that we've done a few times before, which is to imagine how Paul would write us here today. Here it goes. Paul and Timothy, both of us committed servants to Christ Jesus, write this letter to all the followers of Jesus at the United Parish in Brookline. Pastors, staff, members, friends, and curious newcomers all included. We greet you with grace and peace that comes from God, our parent, and our brother and CEO, Jesus Christ. I want to assure you, United Parish, that every time you cross my mind, I break out with great thanks to God. And each time is a reason to pray. And I find myself praying for you regularly with a glad heart. I am so pleased that you have continued your work. Despite your intimidatingly expensive building challenges, demonstrating the good work of God, ever since your consolidated founding in 1970, right up to the present, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep it flourishing far into the future. And it's not at all overly optimistic for me to think this way about you. My prayers and my hopes are deeply rooted in reality. First of all, I know firsthand your steadfast commitment to people in struggle. Just like the rainbow chairs on your front lawn, you are committed to offering as wide a welcome as possible, a Jesus-like welcome, especially for those who might not feel welcome. I hear that the current banner on your lawn says, "Love your neighbor, no matter their mental health challenge, no matter their immigration status, no matter their sexual orientation, no matter their economic status, no matter their gender identity, no matter their disability, no matter their religion, no matter their race, love your neighbor, no exceptions." From your early days, you stood up for justice, for women, and for LGBTQ+ people, for civil rights. And you have also stuck with me in my struggles. From the time I was put in this ICE detention center, brought up on wrongful charges and without due process for my protest work and my Turkish identity, God knows how much I love and miss you these days. Sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does. So this is my overarching prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but you will love well, that you will love appropriately, that you will always test that your love is sincere and intelligent, not mere lip service or sentimental gush. Because now more than ever, in the current age, it is important that you live this life of love, a life Jesus would be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making the true message of Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Now, I know that in this day and age and in a place like Brookline, my zealous talk can seem like strange language, even off-putting. I want you to get over that. Translate it in your own way. Recognize that you are, in fact, doing the work of Christ, sharing the love of God. Recognize it and be confident in it. This is your calling. In fact, it's your legacy right there in Coolidge Corner, just as your Congregationalist, Baptist, and Methodist forebears did when they planted churches there 180 years ago. You are carrying forth this bold legacy. And I want to report to you, my friends, that my imprisonment here in Burlington has had the opposite of its intended effect. Despite the harsh conditions, everything you may have heard, sleeping on cold floors, people being denied food and medication, people screaming out for help, people detained unlawfully, despite all this, the good news of God's love has actually prospered. We know about the protesters on the outside, which include many of you. We know about the work you are doing with other organizations to distribute food and help accompany immigrants on errands. All of this is the love of Christ in action. Everyone here, including the guards, found out that I'm in jail because of my standing up for Christ in protesting the current regime. And it piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned a lot and become more sure of their own convictions, some of them speaking out fearlessly about God, about what Jesus really taught. And despite all the craziness that thrives in the headlines, I encourage you also to stay committed to living in such a way that you demonstrate the very best of Jesus' teachings. Help and encourage each other in doing this. Stand united, singular in vision, engendering people's trust in the good news as you understand it, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and your unity will show what they're up against. You can defeat them. You can have victory, both because of God. And remember that there's more to the life of faith than just trusting in Christ. There's also sacrificing some comfort for God's values. And this kind of sacrifice, whether it's time or money, is as much a gift as the trusting in God. You are involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through. And you will be called upon to sacrifice something, hopefully not as stringent and difficult as I now face, but something worthwhile. So pay attention and be ready. It's an act of devotion. If Christ's love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Continue to be honestly agreeable with each other and those beyond your community. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. I love hearing about your prayer partnerships, your Bible study, your growing grandparents, your 2030s vision, your drop-in Bible study, your spiritual support groups. This is the true flavor of the Jesus life. Now, living in a capitalist culture, it's easy to get caught up in the idea of pushing your way to the front, sweet-talking your way to the top. Always remember to put on a Christ-like mind frame. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand, because that's how Jesus did it. Even though Jesus had equal status with God, he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a servant. He became a human being for God's sake. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a public execution by crucifixion. And because of that obedience, God exalted and honored him, just as you continue to do this day. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've been doing from the beginning, keeping an eye out for what the current age requires of you. Remember, You are helping magnify God's energy in the world, and it's an energy deep within you. God working through you to make the world livable for others. So do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second guessing allowed. Just go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in the squalidness and pollution of modern day society. Give people a glimpse of what good living is like, what it looks like to live out God's purposes. Carry the light-giving message into the night so that I'll have good cause to be proud of you. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. And even if I am executed here and now in this place, I'll rejoice in being a catalyst in all the ways that you show forth God's love. So whatever you do, don't feel sorry for me. I want to also encourage you to steer clear of barking dogs, those religious busybodies who are all bark and no bite, the people who carry the banner of white Christian nationalism and say that only white, certain kinds of Christians should be in charge. Remember that true believers are those who exhibit the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. Let those be the fruits that people see in you, and keep focused on that goal. And as you do, remember, our ultimate citizenship is not here on earth, but in God's realm. Your job is to help magnify that realm here on earth, just as you pray every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." My dear, dear friends, I love you so much, and I do want the very best for you. And you make me feel such joy, so you fill me with such pride. So don't waver, stay on track, stay steady in God. I also want to urge you to stop being so shy about sharing the good news of your community. There are people out on the streets around you, people who enter your doors for the first time every Sunday morning, who need a sense of belonging, who need to know and be reassured that they matter, who need to know the love of Christ in whatever way you express it. So I want you to get over your self-consciousness and step up to saying hello and hearing their story. Because it's not about you. It's about the forces of love, the forces of inclusion and belonging, overcoming the forces of hate and isolation. Similarly, with all the good people using your building, recognize the ways that they are extensions of God's good news emanating from your worshiping community. They are feeding and clothing people. They are helping people find affordable housing. They are helping people recover from addictions. They are giving children and adults alike a voice for joyful artistic expression. They're helping the young scouts to become good citizens and engendering a life of service. They're providing a place for people to implement policy changes that carry these Christ-like values into the halls of power. They are people who are making sure that healthy plants and animals enhance the life of your community. So get to know these people. Invite them to your worship and your potlucks. Take them out for coffee or a chat on the church's front lawn. Learn their stories and share your own. Find out about their good work and see how it connects to your own faith story. And with this letter, I encourage Stefan, Tyler, Stella and your council, Mark and Litsa and your uplift group, Patty, Deb, David and Mary, and all those figuring out your building challenges to continue on in the good work they're doing. I know it can get ponderous at times, and church time is almost always so much slower than the rest of the world. But don't doubt it. You are indeed leading into future transformation. To Emily and the stewardship group, it is a good and faithful task you bring into this place. Blessings on your faithfulness, blessings on your consecration today. To Kate, Mark, Ben, and Lauren of your human relations team, thank you for faithfully stewarding and honoring the God-given talent among you. To your gathering and community ministry, remember how you are fostering genuine connections, and this is life-giving stuff. To Brian and Susan, Tricia and Joey, the section leaders, and all the members of the choirs, never doubt the power that your tuneful sound has in uplifting others. Give it all your heart. People need to hear the joy you bring. To the ushers, you are the front line of godly love and Jesus-like welcome and hospitality. Always remember that your smile and your greeting make a difference. To Karina, take a break once in a while. You do so much. Encourage Michael in all the gifts he brings to this congregation, but not to get burned out. Many thanks to your mental health team for making sure your inclusive welcome is as wide as it needs to be. To those who teach in the church school and lead Bible study, this is precious, valuable work you do, instilling this great love in the young and older minds and souls. To Violet, Rebecca, Sarah, Jim, never forget that the work of keeping this place running is a real ministry, a true service for the good of God, of Christ's love. To Amy and Kent, remember that you are ordained to the call to keep pointing the people to the love of God through the lens of Christ. I could go on and on with a list of names, but I don't have access to the realm directory in here. So for all those whose names I left out, please know that my love and gratitude is not bound by the limitations of my memory. As you bring forth your pledges of time and money and your annual stewardship appeal, remember it is a good and important work you are doing, and you make me proud. You bring a smile to God's face. You warm the heart of Jesus. So in whatever you do, whether for the church community or outside of it, make it your aim to celebrate God all day, every day. Don't go to the headlines first. That will only discourage you. Go to God first. Give thanks for your life, for the day. Start there. And regularly practice reveling in God. Take in all the wonders of this creation and remember the Creator who gives you life and breath. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that your ultimate leader is about love, not about hate and division. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's really wonderful when that happens, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, keep filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, the things to praise, not the things to curse. Put into practice all the good you learned from me, what you've learned from the model of Jesus. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into their most excellent harmonies. Receive and experience the amazing grace of the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, deep, deep within yourselves. Grace and peace always. Your beloved servant, Paul.